You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
For tomorrows, there have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Well, I've been a lot of places, and I've seen so many faces. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was His own.
Amen. Kathy, you don't know how ironic it was that you sang that song tonight. Y'all may not know that song's probably about as old as Kathy and I are. Okay, I grew up. Well, maybe as old as I am. Okay, and I grew up in church, and we sang, me and two young ladies, we sang that song. We were just teenagers, and we sang that song, and we went to a state church denomination affiliated contest, and Kathy, we won first in state with that song. So that song's been around a while, because I was about 13 years old back then, okay? And I'm okay, you do the math, okay? you go ahead and go on. You know, As Kathy and Johnny are on the way out the door, I want to commend Leland and Johnny and Kathy also, because they're pastors together. But you don't just turn your pulpit over to anybody, okay? As a pastor, I is one, okay? I is one, and you got to be careful who you turn your pulpit over to. So thank them that they trust me. It's a real blessing to me that they trust me enough as another pastor in another church in this town to walk out and to leave me in charge, okay, and to put me in the pulpit, okay. I appreciate that very, very much, that they love me and appreciate me. I've kind of grew up around the rec room, and like Johnny said, I've known Johnny for years, and when he was affiliated with the church across the street, a Baptist church, over there, Temple Baptist. I drove. Johnny was over the bus ministry for years and years and years, and I was a bus driver for about 4 or 5 years. I drove a bus for Johnny, worked for Johnny. He was the leader, and I just was a little old bus driver back then, and so we kind of grew up together. So we've known each other a long time. If you would, one thing about me is that it's hard for me to stay up behind a pulpit. It just did. My one mentor that I had when I was first went into full time ministry about 12-13 years ago now, he told me, he said, if you don't stay behind that pulpit, he said, I'm going to chain you to it. Well, I'm not a behind the pulpit type of pastor. I'm just not. So I may start out up here, but I'm probably going to end up, you know, down there and over here. And I know it'll probably be a nightmare for the video man back there to keep up with me. But at least you'll have the sound on it. Okay. Again, I wanted to say thanks to Leland. Leland asked me a couple of 3 weeks ago to come and to fill in for him. And every time that I have an opportunity to do that, I was here, I guess it would have been a few weeks or a few months ago now. And it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing to me. And I feel very comfortable here at Life Change and at the Rec Room. I'm down here about as much as some of the parishioners are. Okay, I come down on Saturdays and we just hang out together, and I'm down here about every Thursday night and driving the bus and things like that. Let's stand if you would. I gotta kind of get you comfortable here this evening, so y'all bear with me just a little bit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'd rather be here than in jail. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'd rather be here than in the hospital. Now turn to somebody. Now you got to make sure when you turn to this other person, make sure you kind of know them a little bit, okay? But turn to that person that you kind of know and say, "It looks like you gained weight since the last time I saw you." Now see what that'll do. That'll get you on a first name basis right there. Yeah, that'll get you on a first name basis. Now I told Leland, I said, Leland, I said, I can do the same thing you can do, it just takes me an hour and a half. Okay? Because Leland is a master of the 20-minute message. I've never seen anybody, and I've been around him for several years now, and he can take in 20 or 30 minutes, and he can dig stuff out and find stuff and deliver a message and have salvation and everything else that goes along with that. And I'm just barely getting started in 20 minutes. So I have to watch the clock. In fact, Johnny gave me 2 clocks. I got one here and I got one back there. So we're going to be done at 8 o'clock. Okay. I may not be finished, but we're going to be done at 8 o'clock because we need to get on out of here. Okay. Get your Bible. If you've got your Bible, get that out here this evening. And I'm gonna share some things with you. Okay. No, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Yeah, stand up. I'm not gonna keep you on your feet very long. When I was here a few weeks back, I kind of hit a hot button. Okay. I kind of hit a hot button with some folks, and we were talking about forgiveness. Okay. And this is a huge area. For Christians, it's a huge area. For non-believers, it's just a big area for people that we have to get worked through in order to move forward in life. And especially as Christians, to grow and mature and develop as Christians, we have to get worked through that. So I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about that. I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 scriptures here, and then I'm going to let you be seated. I'm going to take you over to Mark, chapter number 11, and I'm going to take you to verse number 25 and 26. When you get it, say amen. 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 That's about half of you. That's not too bad. Okay, Mark chapter number 11, verse number 25 and 26. The Bible says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Verse 26 goes on to say, "But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." pretty cut and dried scripture, pretty simple. I'm going to take you back over, you're in Mark, back up just a little bit, go to Matthew, basically the same scripture, Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 23 and 24. It says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." In other words, God's saying, don't bring anything to me. Don't come talk to me. Don't come wanting anything from me, and you've got harbored hard feelings toward someone else. Okay? You're in Matthew. Go to chapter 6 now. You're right there. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 14 and 15. It says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There's three places that the Bible's saying just about the same thing. Now, go clear over to 1 Peter. Clear over to 1 Peter. And I know I'm running you around. I'm going to explain this here in just a minute. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And verses number 21 through 23. Now, I threw this scripture in here for a reason, is because I have a problem doing anything that somebody else won't do. Somebody asking me to do something that they won't do, I got a problem with that. Okay? I really do. I struggle with it. Okay? But let's listen to this. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Verse number 23. Now here's the application scripture. Listen to this. It says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him," talking about his Father, Father God, "to him that judgeth righteously." In other words, God's going to right the wrong. Okay? Vengeance is his, the Bible tells us. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we appreciate you and we thank you so much for everything you do for us. And we just pray tonight that over the next few minutes that you would just take and that you would minister in and through your word, dear Lord. Father, have me to have just the words. Have me to have just the words for the people that are here tonight, dear Lord, that some of them will receive it, some of them won't tonight, dear Lord. But that's okay. The very one, there may be one or ones that are here tonight, dear Lord. This is going to change their life. They're going to hear this message and they're going to hear these scriptures. And they're going to hear these truths and these principles and it's going to change their lives forever. And we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, let me kind of lay out a little bit more of a base here for us, is that I'm what they call a topical preacher. Now, Leland is what they call an exegetical preacher. Now, that's a $100,000 word. Basically, what that means is that an exegetical preacher like Leland, and he's the best I've ever seen at it, is he'll tell the story. He's liable to take one little bitty scripture, one little bitty passage of scripture, and he'll tell the story. And I'll be back there scratching my head because I've read that scripture maybe hundreds of times. And I've said, I didn't see that. I didn't understand that. But he's good at that. He's an exegetical type preacher. I'm what they call a topical type preacher because I'll give you a subject matter like forgiveness or whatever we're going to talk about, and then I'll run you all over the Bible, okay? I'll run you from Genesis to Revelation. I'm liable to give you 20 to 50 different scriptures or something like that to prove my point, okay? It doesn't make one of us any better than the other one. It's just different styles of preaching. So I hope you enjoy maybe my style as much as you enjoy Leland's style because you'll be able to glean from both of them. Another thing that we need to throw out here before we get started is we need to make sure that we're all on the same level playing field together here. And there's so much that I would like to explain, but in 25 minutes I don't have the point to be able to do that with you. I don't have the time restraints because of that. So just trust me if you would. Just trust me for tonight. But like Leland says, go check me out. Go check me out. Don't just take what I say for granted. Check me out, but trust me for tonight. Number one is that the Bible is the unadulterated Word of God. Okay, this right here is the unadulterated Word of God. And I call this the John 1:1 principle. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Amplified Bible says the Word was God Himself. So when we use this Bible, this is God speaking to us, okay? Through His Word, this is literally God telling us what to do. It's not, I've heard this used a lot of times, pastors or teachers, they will say, well, the Bible's a roadmap for life. No, it's not a roadmap for life. If you get a roadmap out, there's a lot of different ways to get to Dallas. Okay, you can get out here on I-20 and go east and get to Dallas. There's a lot of different ways to get to Dallas, okay? But there's only one way to get to heaven. Okay, and it's through the unadulterated Word of God and believing on His Son, Jesus Christ, that He died for you and that He rose again and that you're saved. Okay, that's the only way that you can get there. So just understand that the Bible is the unadulterated Word of God. The second thing is that we use the Word to prove the Word. Now, somebody will get that about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, okay? That may go over your head a little bit, but we use the Word to prove the Word. And then the third thing, and Leland explained this to me so well the other day when I was visiting with him, is you can't separate God from His Word. Okay? You just can't separate God from His Word. Over in Psalms 138 chapter and verse number 2, God even told King David, he said, my name is above the word. My word is above my name. Is that his word's so important. Okay. So we have to understand that. We have to understand that as Christians and as believers. Now, I told you I was wanting to talk to you about forgiveness, and I kind of come up with a title here that, so you're telling me that I have to forgive. And I use that as a title, but I like subtitles sometimes. And I come up with the subtitle is that all roads of life lead to and through relationships. Okay? And a lot of us that are maybe Christians or non-Christians alike, we've had broken relationships. We may have had broken relationships in our family. We've had broken relationships with our friends. We've had broken relationships with church members. We've had broken relationships with just people maybe that we knew just on the way by. But all roads of life lead to and through relationships. And I think those three scriptures, the two in Matthew and the one in Mark 11:25, I think they really brought that out, how important relationships are. The number one relationship is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But after that, the relationship that we have with each other is so very, very, very important. And the Bible is very clear on what it's telling us here, is that if we've got harbored hard feelings or anger or bitterness or unforgiveness toward anyone, is that it's going to hold back the blessings of God. It's going to hold back what we're going to be able to accomplish for the kingdom. It's going to hold back. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things." Matthew 6:33. All these other things will then be added. Well, there's going to be a problem adding all these other things when you've got harbored hard feelings, bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. So, oftentimes we have to get a hold of this principle right here. This has been one of the hardest things for me to grasp a hold of. As a Christian and as a believer and as a pastor, there was some things in life and some situations and circumstances that I've had to go through, and I'm not here to give my testimony tonight per se, but I could give my testimony. And I've been hurt, okay? I've been wounded. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been lied on. I've been told half-truths about. The whole gamut, okay, just as a lot of you have. But I have learned through God's Word to forgive people, because most of the time it comes through people. It comes through people where the hurts and the offenses come. But I have learned to forgive people, and I've learned to love people unconditionally, and I've learned to forgive them for the sins and the transgressions and the iniquities that they have directed toward me. And I found out that God blesses me for that. God blesses me in so many different ways. He blesses my body. He blesses my family. He blesses my relationships. He blesses my finances. He blesses everything in my life. And I believe that is because I have what the Bible calls a David's heart. Okay, the Bible says over in Psalms is that King David was a man after God's own heart. Okay, and I believe that it's because that King David was a little bit like I am, or I'm a little bit like King David was. And my first name is David. My middle name is Douglas, and I go by my middle name. And don't ever do that to your kids. It messes you up. Okay. But my first name is David, and I think that goes a lot along with King David, because he had a heart that when he would make a mistake, he would go and he would throw himself on the mercy seat of God, and he would ask God immediately to forgive him in every situation, whether it was murder, whether it was an adulterous situation, no matter what he did. And he did those things. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. I mean, some bad stuff. But he would immediately, when he knew that he was wrong, he would throw himself on the mercy seat of God. And God blessed David. God blessed David because of that. Okay? That was free. That didn't cost anything, because that wasn't in my notes. Okay? Number one, let's talk about why we need to forgive. Well, first thing is because it's a commandment over Mark 11:25, Matthew, in two places in Matthew. The second reason is that it restores relationships. See, and that's very important, because God gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. See, because He needed to restore a relationship. With who? With you and I. Okay? So He gave the very best that He had in order to reconcile or to restore that relationship. And when we forgive people, oftentimes that's what it does, is that it restores relationships. And I know a lot of times I'd sit there and I would read the Word of God, and I would hear pastors and teachers preaching on this subject, and I would say, I can't forgive. I can't forgive. I can't go on. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I've been violated. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. But folks, I'm telling you right now is that you got to forgive. Okay? You got to forgive. And I'm telling you, if you'll learn to grasp a hold of this converse, if you'll learn to grasp a hold of this concept, is that there will be such a burden that will be lifted off of your life. It'll be like, have you ever just dreaded doing something? You just dreaded doing it. Maybe it was when you were in school. Maybe it was going and taking a test, or maybe when you were doing this or doing that. You just dreaded doing something, and then once you did it, it just felt like that there was a great big burden lifted from you. Okay, that's the way this is that when you forgive. And really forgive, and not just say the words, but really forgive from the heart. There will be a supernatural freedom, because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? And there will be a supernatural freedom, and you will say, why did I let this go on? Why did I let this go on as long as I did? And I know there's been times that I've had offenses, and I've had harbored hard feelings and anger and bitterness toward people, and I held it in for years. I mean, you're talking some things maybe 20 years that I held on to offenses. The person that had hurt me, or the person that had wounded me, the person that had offended me, they'd gone on with life. Okay? They'd gone on. They didn't think a second thing about it. But I was holding on to that. And there was something inside of me, is that I was getting some mileage. You know what I mean? I was getting some mileage out of that. I mean, I was holding on to that. I wasn't going to let go of that thing, because I was mad. I was upset. I was hurt. And I wanted to stay that way. And I wanted people to oftentimes feel sorry for me because of what I had to put up with, or how I'd been treated, or how I'd been lied against, or told half-truths about and things like that, or how I'd been violated, or how I'd been abused. And I just wanted to hold on to that forever. And see, I had to let go of that. I had to let go of that. And when I did, there was just that supernatural freedom that comes with that letting go of that situation. The third thing the third reason that we need to forgive is because it'll get our prayers answered. Okay? When we got harbored hard feelings and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, and we yield up our prayers, they don't go any higher than this ceiling. Okay? God says, you're going to have to forgive that person. You're going to have to forgive that organization. You're going to have to forgive that ministry. You're going to have to forgive that employee. You're going to have to forgive that supervisor. You're going to have to forgive that mate. You're going to have to forgive that mother. You're going to have to forgive that father. You're going to have to forgive them. And when you do, is that He will then start answering your prayers and giving you the desires of your heart. I'm going to move along quickly because we've only got about 10 or so minutes left here, and I want to pray for some folks before I get out of here tonight. The second thing that I wanted to talk to you about is that I got tired of dealing with the same old problem over and over and over and over again. And see, God is a God that He created all of this. He created all of the world. And then He went back and started it. Okay? Now, think about that. I'm going to give you the scripture that backs that up. Is that He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the beginning, and He's the end. And He created all of this first, and then He went back and put it into motion. Okay? So, the very thing that means so much to us is time. Okay? I'm 51 years young. The clock is ticking. Okay? The clock is clicking. Say that three times, okay? And that means so much to me because there's so much that I want out of life. There's so much that I want out of ministry. There's so much that I want out of my family. There's so much that I want out of this world. Okay? And the clock's ticking in my mind. Because I'm thinking, yeah, I'm 51. If I live to be 70, well, you know, I got X number of years left. Okay? But you know, time means absolutely nothing to God. Okay? Because we've just started to live as Christians and as believers. And He will let us, and I'm going to give you a biblical precedent and a biblical example of this here in just a minute. But He will let us set on whatever rung of the ladder we're on, just as long as He needs to. And we can stay at this rung of the ladder because we're not going to go any further until we forgive, okay? And you say, well, I can't forgive. Well, you're going to sit here. Okay. Well, Pastor Doug, you don't know what I've gone through. I don't care. You're just going to have to sit here on this rung of the ladder. And God's up there, and He still loves you, and He still loves me. But He'll just let us sit here as long as we need to in order to grow and mature and develop as Christians, as believers, as human beings. Okay? He did the same thing back in the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy chapter number 2 and verse number 3. You remember the story of the Israelites, that they were coming out of Egyptian bondage from Pharaoh. And they kind of gotten to a point that they weren't moving forward any longer. Remember, it took them 40 years, and out of the 6 million or however many came out of Egyptian bondage, there was only two, Joshua and Caleb. There was only two that went over into the Promised Land out of 6 million. There was only two that actually went into the Promised Land. And I thought this was very interesting. And when I read this scripture, and it's been years ago I read this scripture, Moses told the people, he says, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. It's time for some of us to quit going around that mountain over and over and over. We've compassed. We've gone around this mountain time and time and time again. I found myself in that very situation. I was broke, busted, and disgusted all at the same time. Okay, and I was staying there. Didn't have no money. Mad at the world. Broken marriage. Broken relationship. Broken family. Physical body. Got the bad doctor's reports. My Dr. Duran, Dr. John Duran, some of you may know Dr. Duran. He may be your family physician. He's my physician. He told me 20-some years ago, he said, Doug, if you don't change your ways, he said, you'll never see 40. He says, you got so much stuff wrong with you at the age 27 years old. He said, you're never going to see 40. Well, John 8:44 says the devil's a liar. Okay, and I'm 51. But do you understand what I'm saying? Is that I had to change my ways in a lot of different areas of my life. I'd come past that mountain long enough. Same story, same group of people, the Israelites, over in Exodus chapter number 14 and verse number 13. They were running from their problem. They were running from Pharaoh. They were running from Egyptian bondage. And long story short is that Pharaoh had changed his mind and he was coming back after them. They got to the Red Sea and mountain ranges on both sides and the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh burning up their butt. Okay. He's coming. I mean, there wasn't nowhere to go. And Moses told the Israelites, he said, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. This Egyptian that you see before you this day, you shall see no more forever. Okay. So I'm telling you right now that if you'll just stand still and allow the Lord to do what He can do in your life, and you start letting Him lead you and guide you and direct you, is that He will part the waters for you? Is that He will take care of your enemies? He will take care of situations and circumstances, but you're going to have to let the Lord be the Lord of your life. You're going to have to let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. Okay? We're getting close to being done here. I've got about 5 more minutes here. The third thing I was going to talk to you about, and I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures for this also, but the third thing that I was wanting to talk to you about is that I get disappointed a lot. Okay? And I told Leland this here a while back, and he got a kick out of that. He said, you do get disappointed a lot. Because I trust in people. I believe in people. I trust people. And people, as Leland brings out very clearly, we are inherently bad. Okay? The Bible says, such a wretch as I. Okay? And that's why I get disappointed a lot. Because I just keep trusting in people. And the reason I say that is that I believe that if you're given all the information, if you're given the right opportunity, if you're given the proper amount of time, is that you're going to make the right decision. Even non-believers, I believe in that. And I do. I get disappointed a lot because I get, you know, people let me down a lot. But I still believe in that. I still believe in people, and I still believe that they're going to make the right decision. The Bible tells us, and I'll share this with you, is that in Psalms chapter number 51 and verse number 17, a broken and a contrite spirit the Lord will not ignore. Okay? So if we will humble ourselves before the Lord, is that He's going to set up and take notice. Okay? And I found that to be true. And another favorite scripture of mine, I call them flagship scriptures, is over in a little bitty, it's called a minor prophet in the Old Testament. It's chapter number 6 and verse number 8. It says there's 3 things that's required of us as believers. And as Christians, is to live righteous, live according to the Word of God, to love unconditionally, and to walk humbly before our Lord. Okay? That's all He really requires of us. Okay? Dolores, would you and Yes, my sister. my sister. Make your way back up here, and I'm going to make quick work of this, Jolene. I've got 4 minutes. Let's stand, if you would. And as every head is bowed and as every eye is closed, I'm going to give an altar call here, and I'm going to give a salvation call, and I'm going to include two people groups here. I'm going to include the person that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then I'm going to include those of us that are believers this evening. But we've got some harbored hard feelings, or we've got some unforgiveness, or we've got something that we're holding on to, and it's holding us back. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or if you're a Christian and you're a believer, and you say, Pastor Doug, you've hit on a hot button with me tonight. And there's some things that I'm holding on to that I really need to get put behind me. And I want you to set your faith in agreement with me tonight. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. But if that's you here this evening, I just want to set my faith in agreement with you this evening. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. If that's you here this evening, yes, I see your hand. 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 The Holy Spirit's moving. Go ahead. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to make a mental note in my mind, and I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be believing that the Lord is going to bless you in a great and a mighty way, and the Lord's going to take and heal this broken heart, or you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you would, just raise your hand one more time. Raise your hand one more time. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Okay. If you would, just reach over, grab a hold of the hand of the person next to you. And even as the rest of us that are Christians or believers, let's just say a little prayer together. And then we're going to be done for tonight. Everybody say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I know I've made some mistakes, and for that I'm sorry. From this day forward, you're my King of Kings. From this day on, you're my Lord of Lords. And God, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. And because of that, I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look up here. Can you give the Lord a great big hand clap? Okay, now I've run out of time, okay? But I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here for however long we need to. If you want to come down here and me set my faith in agreement and pray for you, I am going to do that. Just one last thought here is that the devil is a liar. John 8:44 said the devil is a liar and he's the father of all lies and he's incapable of telling the truth. What he would want to do is that he would want to keep you in your broken state. Okay? He would want to keep you in your state of unforgiveness because that'll hold you back. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Is it that situation, that circumstance that you've laid before him tonight? The Bible says it's as far as the east is from the west. Okay? Never to be used against you again. So don't let the devil rekindle that situation and that circumstance. You've asked forgiveness of that. Go do whatever you need to do. Call whoever you need to call. Talk to whoever you need to talk to. Make the situation right according to what the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and directs you to do. And I promise you that you'll be able to live an abundance life. Amen. We love y'all. We'll see y'all next Thursday night. Thank you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.